Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Lending Forward podcast. My name is Sarah Rogers. I'm your host today, and I am so very excited to welcome another repeat guest, friend of the show, back to the guest chair today. I am joined by Laura Brandeo. Hey, Laura.
Hello, Sarah. So happy to be here with you today.
Awesome. So happy to have you. So let's get right into it. I'm always very interested to hear from powerhouse women in our industry like yourself and learning their origin story in our typically male-dominated mortgage industry. So to kind of set the stage and get some background for our listeners, I'd love to hear about your career journey. How'd you get into this crazy world we call home? What has that path looked like for you?
Absolutely. My story actually starts with being a young mom. Mm-hmm. So me and my husband were high school sweethearts and we were engaged to be married at 19. And we found out we were expecting. Surprise! All right. So at that point, we were like, oh my goodness, this was not part of the plan. What mm-hmm. are we going to do? So essentially we said, well, we can't afford daycare. So I'll stay home. Hubby, you go work. We're going to figure this out. Okay. Well, needless to say, I was the same personality at 19 that I am today. I had a lot of energy and I just needed to do something in addition to having additional income for the house. So I said, I know I'll do something in the evenings, right? I'll be home during the day, pass baby to hubby, and I'll go to work. Well, at that time, you really had two choices. You were either working in a store somewhere or you were getting on a phone. Okay. Well, I decided that I was going to go and I was going to apply for a job at a call center. Now, Sarah, I'm going to set the stage of this story of kind of tying together Steve Jobs, those dots of your life. Okay. So I go in for my job interview at night at, I was probably 21 at this point. I was home at first. So 21 years old, I sit before a lady and she says, oh, Laura, we'd love to hire you. And you have a choice to make because there's one of two job openings. Here's one of those dots. Okay. So the option was one option. You can sit and wait for the phone to ring. And then you're going to answer the phone for whatever company it is that people are calling and like a customer service type thing. Or you can call out to people and you can offer them a service or you can sell them something, whatever. Sarah, to this day, I do not know why I picked option two, because option two is the harder option, of course, of that choice. But I said, I'd rather be in control and call out than wait for someone to call me.
Right.
Well, it turned out I got put on a mortgage campaign. And so my first introduction to the mortgage industry was calling strangers to speak to them about what interest rate they were paying because they could possibly save money by doing a refinance. Okay. Dot number one of my life. Well, I was doing it for about 2 months and I kept calling all these people that owned homes. Well, Sarah, yeah. I came from a house. We never owned a home. We rented my entire life. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what it was like to own a home. But about 2 months in, I get a bright idea in my 21-year-old brain that I'm going to go and I'm going to knock on the door of the highest person at this marketing company, a VP, an older gentleman about in his mid-50s, which seemed like he might have been 100 compared to me at that age.
21.
And I go into his office, knock on the door. This man looks up and sees this young girl standing in the doorway. And I say, sir, I'm Laura Brandeo. I work in the telemarketing department at night calling people for mortgages. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, me and husband, we want to buy a home one day. And he's like, okay. I said, can I get extra hours so that I can save to be able to buy a house? So he's like, you know what? If you stay late after everybody goes home, you can stay and run reports. Sold. Great. I'll do it. So that night, the tech kid teaches me how to run the reports. Sarah put another dot on the plot of my life. That night, I ran the reports, but I didn't do what he said by just running the reports. I sat down. I started analyzing the reports. I started actually making notes. You should move Sarah to this campaign, and you should move Bill to this campaign, and you should do these things. I made copies of the report. I slipped it under all the executives' doors, and I went home.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning or next evening, I came in, and that VP was waiting for me. Now, I thought I was going to lose my job that day for overstepping my bounds. Instead, he made me the leader of the entire call center.
Oh,
200
wow.
telemarketers. Because this man said, someone that took that proactive approach and saw the vision without being told to do something is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the next 5 years running that call center while I had another child, while my kids were before school of age of going to school. And that was my entry into the mortgage industry. I then proceeded by 27. I was the COO of a company. Then I ran an entire retail company. And in 2007, when I thought the company I was going to that I was working for was going to go out of business because of subprime.
Right.
I called my account executive at IndyMac, an old company, and I said, do you know anywhere that might be safe? And she introduced me to the CEO of AFR.
Okay.
Went to AFR, and this gentleman, the CEO, said to me, Laura, I want to start wholesale. We're going to offer one product, FHA, down to a 500 credit score. He said to me, it's 100% commission, but you get to run it and build it whatever way you want. Well, I said yes to that. Mm-hmm. And I wound up becoming president of that company, a partner of that company. I built that company to be one of the fourth largest FHA lenders in the country over years. And then I sold that company in February of 2024. But Sarah, it all started with number one, taking the harder road instead of the easier road, and not being afraid to ask for what I wanted and doing the extra work to get it.
That's awesome. It's crazy how life works out, and like the butterfly effect, this all those little things you can think of. If I just would have made one tiny little different decision, like where would I be right now? And we can't get too lost in those thoughts because you can go down a rabbit hole. But that is so. I'm not sure I've heard a mortgage origin story like yours before. So that's awesome. All because you printed out those reports and you did it. I was going to ask, like, was there a pivotal like moment or event or maybe a person who influenced you to get to this more advisory or leadership role you're in today? But it sounds like maybe she's born with it, right?
I honestly will tell you, my mom is a very strong woman, mm-hmm. right? And it's interesting. There's four of us. There's three girls and a boy in my family. And my mother, from the day we were born, and you have to remember, this is an era where women were not leaders. I mean, my mom grew up in the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was not a time of women empowerment, right? And my mother told every one of us, you're unlimited. You can do anything you put your mind to. Don't ever, ever think that anyone can stop you except yourself. And number two, make your own money and your own success, and don't ever have to rely on someone else to take care of your family. Now, every single one of us wound up being happily married forever. None of us ever had to apply that rule, but it didn't matter. It was instilled in us that we can be and do anything.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wish I wish every young woman had that in their life. So if you're listening and you needed to hear that today, take that and run with it, because it goes for everyone. I love that so much. That's so inspiring. So like I was saying before we chatted, I've been following you on social media, LinkedIn specifically, for a while. And to everyone listening, if you aren't following Laura yet, I'm sure you will be by the end of the episode. Her infectious positivity radiates through. But there are a few concepts, Laura, that you talk about a lot on social that I think are really important to keep top of mind, especially right now. So I want to start out with this emphasis to know, to understand, and to like live in your why. I know you did a whole podcast series called What's Your Why a couple of years ago. I listened to those. So I know this is your bread and butter, but things are getting tough out there. Like even we've been saying it for years, right? But it's continually, you know, getting tough and staying tough. For originators and for people in real estate. And I think in the hustle and bustle of all of this, it's very easy to forget why we're doing what we're doing. So as someone who is such a huge proponent for finding and living in that why, what are some ways that we can rediscover this?
Yeah. And I want to actually go back to where the podcast, What's Your Why, came from.
Okay.
So where that originated was during COVID. So during COVID in the mortgage industry, we had a different problem. We had too much business. Mm-hmm. And you had originators burning out because they couldn't keep up with the volume, and they couldn't keep up with all the calls and the trying to get loans through, and lenders were very behind in turn times, and everyone was kind of going at it at very, very fast paced. And I said to myself, how can I help our industry in a way of kind of recentering people to realize why they're doing what they're doing and to make it personal. And so What's Your Why was born because of what was happening during COVID. Okay. And so when we first started it, I mean, I had people crying on there, right? Where people told stories of helping a person that was homeless once, or a veteran that went, you know, they were 70 years old, they never owned a home, and and they didn't even know that they could use their benefit or be able to qualify. Or one story, my favorite that I've shared numerous times on stages, is a loan officer that helps the deaf, the hearing impaired.
Yeah.
And he shared I mean, to this day, it brings me almost to tears when he tells a story about helping this one gentleman that his mother thought that he was too good for her, that he was buying a house and they never owned a house. And he almost didn't move forward with purchasing a house because of this self-imposed, you know, parameter from his environment. And Sarah, what happened is when these people started realizing what a positive effect they have on their community, on the people they serve, on the families they've helped. When you hear stories of one gentleman, it's all coming back to me. This one gentleman told me a story about one of his first deals was a young kid that got his first bedroom, his own room. He didn't have to share with a sibling, and he ran to the room and he got it. That kid grew up. And the loan officer then helped him when he bought a home for his family. And he told the story about how that moment changed everything. And it made it to realize that you grow up and you buy a house. Like it's not even a question. I don't rent. I know I have to save, and I know I have to set myself up to be able to buy a house, because that was how they grew up. And that all started with that loan officer that made a difference, that loan officer that showed a family that they too can have generational wealth, that they have that ability. And right now, it is hard. And you know what? When we know this affordability problem that we have in the U.S., do you know who we need to educate? My generation. Because you know what? My generation is the generation that has the generational wealth with the homes that we have in equity. And by educating us to realize that we can take from our equity and be able to share that with our children that we love in the next generation, to be able to get that down payment or be able to get them to qualify, maybe It takes us doing business a little bit different, but we're able to do that if we just step out and realize why we're doing it, to realize the impact that we're making. Business isn't done the same today as it was done in 2000. Let's just go back to 2000, right? It's completely different. It is more difficult, but it's only as difficult as if we try to keep fitting the same thing into the box. The box has changed. We've changed. Society has changed. The affordability has changed. So you know what we need to do? We need to go back and remember why we're doing it. And remember that your environment and your outcome goes by how hard you put into it, the action we take, and not necessarily copying what everybody else has done previously.
Yeah, that's so true. Just a little bit of reframing, but remembering at the end of the day, like the core reason, and just taking a moment to sit in that and think about how you've been able to, you know, achieve that feeling thus far and what you're going to change to be able to keep doing it and keep being successful. Just takes a little bit of self-reflection. And I mean, you've kind of inspired me there. I need to do some self-reflecting on my why. I think we should like make it a yearly practice, right?
It changes.
Yeah.
It changes. It's very easy. I mean, yes, when I was raising my kids, it was really easy. Oh, my why is my kids and my family. And then things change, right? I mean, as life changes, you change. I just listened to another TED talk about if you go back 10 years of your life, you're not the same person.
Right.
So many times in our lives, we try to remain the same person. We're not supposed to.
Right.
We're supposed to change and take everything we've learned and apply it to who we are today for the next 10 years of our life. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to remain the same. We want to continue to evolve. And that why and that motivation, that inspiration and what we've learned and applying it to the future, it's supposed to change. We don't have to keep reliving the same thing. We're supposed to evolve.
Right. Nothing changes if nothing changes, right?
That's right. So you can't get a different result if you don't change, right?
Exactly. Oh, wow. I think that's going to lead really nicely into a term that I heard you use in one of your recent Motivational Monday posts, those videos you put out. And you actually mentioned it a little earlier when you were talking about the like what your mother instilled in you, the unlimited mindset. And this really piqued my interest. It left me wanting to hear more from that short video you did. So I'm curious exactly what you mean by that term and how mortgage and real estate professionals can kind of frame that and go after that, but maybe most importantly, why they should.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this was something I was born with or if this is something that I learned, but I will tell you that I believe I can literally do anything. Like, and I'm actually even going to give you an example. Okay. So I'm working on, I'm working with a potential client on a project where they are about to expand drastically in their company, right? I met the woman, instantly had a connection with her, like brilliant, brilliant mortgage professional. I don't even know how we never crossed paths, but we never crossed paths, right? I just recently met her. And when I met her, you know, I reached out to her and we are going to work on a project together. But I said to her, I said, you know, I have to tell you, I don't know what it looks like of how we're going to work together, but I'm telling you, we're going to work together. I said, because we are so aligned in how we think and we're so aligned of what good we want to do as a whole in our projects that I know for sure that we will work on something. Now, again, this is someone I just met. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. I just got a feeling.
You just know.
Mm-hmm. Long story short, not only are we going to work on a project together, but she is now bringing me in to provide me advisory shares to have ownership in this company.
Wow.
And it all happened because I wasn't afraid to be transparent with her, have an open, honest conversation, and I did not force it. Mm-hmm. I didn't demand anything. I didn't tell her this is what it'll look like. I allowed it to be open and I had no expectations. That's unlimited. Mm-hmm. See, when you go in and you frame in your mind, this is what has to happen. When it doesn't turn out exactly the way you expected, it feels like a loss. It feels like a failure. See, I don't do that. I go in just of, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to share with you that we're on the same track. I know that we're going to do things together and we're going to naturally allow it to morph into whatever that looks like. So my biggest piece of advice is number one, to everyone out there, you can do anything that you put your mind to. It's a matter of focusing and identifying what that is, but don't make it so rigid that you go, well, I didn't hit that. That means I failed. Not at all. You are allowing it to be more free and open to where you're taking your actions. I am a lunatic about routine. So mm-hmm. I take my actions and I will always be moving forward. But when it comes to things that come to me, I'm going to give you another example. Met a young lady. She has a technology. I say to her, you built your own technology. She's probably 33 years old. Built in her own technology. I said, I want to see the technology. It's an AI. Come. She was ahead of it. She built this 5 years ago. Okay. Oh, wow. So a year ago, I say, I would like you to show me the demo. She shows it to me. I said, this is the most incredible technology I've ever seen in the mortgage industry. She then starts to cry. I'm like, why is she crying? I don't understand.
That was a compliment.
She says, I'm out of funding. Ugh. I've spent every dollar I have. I have no more funding. I'm going to have to shut the company down. Mm. Now, again, Sarah, in that moment, I knew I had to do something. I knew I couldn't let that technology die. Mm-hmm. I knew the mortgage industry needed that technology. Now, I wasn't planning, maybe I should take over this company. Maybe I should become the owner of this company. Not at all. All I knew is this was a brilliant woman with a great technology that I wasn't going to let die. So I tied it to my why of trying to help people because that's part of my mission in life. Mm-hmm. Long story short, that technology got its funding. That technology will come into a bigger space in the mortgage industry. And 1 year ago, if I didn't step in, again, not forcing it, knowing just to be a good person, be unlimited to the fact that you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have everything mapped out to the exact detail. Put your plan in place, connect with great book, who, not how. Connect to people you align with, people you want to partner with, people you want to grow with. Don't worry about the intricacies of the how. Line with the right people and then get on the same page and allow yourself to not be so rigid in the box and allow it to take off unlimited because you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, what's going through my head right now is, as you're talking, I just keep thinking, you know, kind of make sure you're aligned with yourself first and foremost, because if you can really like look inward, figure out your why, be aligned with yourself, then everything just kind of falls into place. This kind of unlimited mindset and being open to things while knowing how they're going to kind of go towards that overall why and like knowing what to take on, what not to take on. Yeah. For sure. Wanting to avoid burnout and all of it, but just doing some self-reflection, some inner work on your why, and everything will fall into place as it should be. Just like everything fell into place with you at that call center, deciding to print off those papers and look where you are today. Just
and I can't even tell you this is why I did it. It was just the right thing in that moment that I thought to myself, how can I, my whole mission of life is how I can lift up and help other people. So in that moment, even as the 21-year-old girl, I thought, you know what? These people don't work with the people on the phone like I do every night. So right. How would they know the best campaign to put Jane on? I know that Jane is a teacher during the day. So it's better to put Jane on an educational program than it is mortgage, because she's not connected to mortgage. She's right. connected to educational programs. So in my mind, it went back to my why of how can I help other people? If you tie it to that and you don't, I never expected I would be put in charge of the entire call center. I never dreamed. I never had that as a goal. It wasn't something I went in saying, I'm going to take over the call center.
Right.
My why was, how do I help other people? And if you tie it to that why, the things, like you said, you won't get caught up in, well, how do I get to be the number one person? You'll get to be the number one person if you tie it to the why and you do the work.
Yeah. I love that. Oh my goodness. I could go on forever. I'm feeling fired up, but let me shift a little bit. I know that your role is, I have it directly here on LinkedIn, CEO/founder of Lighthouse Advisors, LLC. I want to get that right. So before we wrap up today, can you tell us a little bit about that? What you do, what you offer for someone like our listener?
Yes. So when I sold AFR and was working with one particular lender, again, this ties to my why. I said to myself, as I'm moving through the rest of my career, how do I want to help our industry? How can I make the biggest impact in our industry? And so I decided to go in a way that I can help many, many lenders and banks and credit unions and tech companies and all different things within our industry. Mm-hmm. Lighthouse Advisors is a consulting firm in fractional executive leadership. But it's not just me. It's me and an entire team that specializes in different things. And we go in and help in many, many ways. Like some of our clients want to grow new divisions. And some of our clients want to figure out how to automate things using AI. And some of our companies want to pick up, how do I do things faster, quicker, more efficient? And we come in and we evaluate. Some people want to be rebranded. I mean, it could be everything from starting brand new as an organization to maximizing profits and doing things like that. So now I have to tell you, Sarah, I am in a stage of I'm having fun. Because now I'm a little behind the scenes that I'm working with clients that people don't necessarily know I'm working with them, but I get the joy of watching them go through this path of enlightenment, shall we say, right? Where I get to take all my experience and my connections and my knowledge and my team to be able to go in and sprinkle some of that magic on them. So I feel like it's a culmination of all the things I've learned over my career. Now I get to spread it out across many different areas in the industry.
That's awesome. And is the name Lighthouse Advisors, is there a metaphor there? A lighthouse, like spreading?
Shining a light, you know, shining a light on, you know, your way. Because sometimes, listen, we all know, when you are in the mortgage industry, sometimes you're so deep in the weeds, you can't see the light. Yeah. It looks dark, right? It looks dark because you're dealing with issues and you're dealing with pressure and you're dealing with margin and you're dealing with trying to get production and all of that, right? You're dealing with all of this. Sometimes you can't see the light. Sometimes it just takes someone with that light to show you you're actually really close to the solution.
Yeah.
Just can't see it sometimes when you're in it.
So true. So true. Well, I think that's a great way to end it. But before before I fully let you go, I'm going to ask you our hallmark question. Take this whichever way you choose. Laura Brandeo, how do you plan on lending it forward in 2025?
Well, lending forward to me is shining the light and helping others, which again, that's my mission. I love our industry. I have to tell you, you know, I have a saying that we don't find the mortgage industry, it finds us. And I know I was chosen to be part of this industry. And I made a promise to myself that I would leave this industry the day I say, okay, it's time for me to move, you know, to go out into the sunset. You know, I will leave this industry better than I found it so many years ago. And so my way of doing that is all of the different associations and things that I lead. You know, I'm on the board of directors of the MBA New Jersey, and I'm part of the NAMBA Visionary, and I'm part of NAM DE&I and Women with Vision and AIM Women's Mortgage Network, and all of the associations and different things that I have the joy and the honor of serving. I want to just continue to expand that reach, because I believe that sometimes we all need to step into other realms to be able to bring people together for us ultimately shining a light towards the future of all those families and communities that we're going to help.
Love it. Way to bring it home. I love it. Well, thank you, Laura, again for joining me, and to everyone for tuning into this episode. If you could take a moment, rate our show wherever you listen, wherever you get your podcasts, if you feel inclined to leave us a review so that others know that you're liking what we put out there, that would be so appreciated. We want to continue lending it forward to everyone in our industry, and with your help, we can keep getting the word out on this show and, most importantly, the awesome guests like Laura and their powerful messages that they bring. So thanks again for listening. Thank you, Laura, and we will catch you all next week.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.